deal.
Gets up, go. Randy, if I could impose on you to shut those doors, that would be great. So it's 11:30. Let's reconvene and go on record. Mr. Easley, I would remind you, you're still under oath, and Deputy Chairman Russell, please your witness. Thank you.
Trying to pick up where I left off, and what I was trying to get to, Mr. Easley, was from, at least from Crude Corp's point of view, the impact of Dakota gasification on this change rate for this COPA is less of a increased cost because of Dakota, but decreased benefits. But the net benefits are still positive.
I believe that's correct.
Okay. And then is it fair to conclude that if Dakota was just removed from the equation completely, the result would be that Precorp's rates would be higher and Basin Electric would have the benefit of whatever flowed from Dakota?
That's correct.
There isn't a minor league baseball team involved here, is there?
I hope not.
But that being said, do you appreciate why the question was asked?
Yes, I do.
And it's in my mind, it's kind of a question of how far can you wander from traditional costs of energy. And in this case, your company, Precorp, is making a case that there is some relationship between the power costs and Dakota, but it's not quite as direct as if Dakota's business was to generate electricity and pass it on. What if there was a minor league baseball team or some other company, and it had some self-generation, and it was selling energy back to Basin through net metering or a PPA or something like that? Would that, in your mind, qualify as something appropriate for the COPA and also our costs?
Well, I think just like any of the activities that go on at Basin, I mean, they're thoroughly vetted by the manager committees, by the board. I mean, ultimately, if it got to the point where, yes, this was something that, you know, was rolled into Basin's rates, then I would say yes. I have a hard time imagining how a baseball team could get through all those through the boards and through the MAC, to the extent that there is some connection and some impact on whether it's off system sales, Kyle, like you hypothetical, Mr. Russell, about a baseball team that has a co-generator that's selling in the Basin. I guess there would be, it's too complicated for me to make a judgment on, although I would say that baseball team, no. If an activity that Basin is doing vets through the Basin membership and vets through the Basin board, and that activity impacts the revenue requirements for Basin, then that becomes, because of our contract with Basin, that is billed to us under our Class A rate schedule, and we would look at those as commodity costs. If we thought what was coming into that was inappropriate, there would be lots of discussion before that ever happened, and hopefully that would never get to that point.
If we were to agree with the interveners and disallow approximately $13 million of those costs, what would that do to Precorp? And as far as your bottom line, I think you already spoke to that a little bit about your tiers and all. But what would Precorp have to do to stay in business and keep your lenders happy?
Well, I think we have, our option is to pay our power bill. And in order, if we couldn't raise, if we couldn't get the capital to pay our power bill through our cost of power adjustment, then we'd have to get those revenues through some rate relief. We could probably go to, you know, I mean, we know Precorp's operating tier of a 1.3 is 1.5 that was last approved, threw off, you know, potentially margin 600,000-ish for every point of tier, I think is kind of the rule of thumb. So we would have to have a very large tier to pay a $13 million expense. I imagine that would draw some attention.
Thanks, that's all I have.
Thank you. Chairman Manier.
When you were considering whether or not to enter into the wholesale power contract with Basin, am I correct in understanding that Freeport understood that Basin's business operations included DGC?
That's correct.
So really your choice was to kind of take it as you find it with Basin Electric or not join Basin Electric?
That's correct.
And you understood at the time that whatever the results of operations would be for Basin Electric, as a whole, they would be dependent, Basin would be dependent for its financial health on the shared contributions of its members.
That's correct.
Thank you. Sorry. Actually, I do have one more. You said you were the cause of two of the five elements that were listed in exhibit 234.2,
which to you? So Precorp sales declined drastically, as have other co-ops, so we would be a cause of the reduced number of sales. And then they also mentioned increases in generation and transmission costs. Basin's transmission policy that was implemented has Precorp part of our rate is includes transmission, and those transmission costs were increasing.
What was going on with the other co-ops?
Basin's largest growth co-op, which is Upper Missouri, which is serving the Balkan, that co-op, all their growth pretty much stopped last year as well, pretty significant. And also ours is the weather too. We experienced the weather too, not the coal mine decline that we had last year wasn't so much weather related as it was the markets. And, so the weather, the markets, the losses, and the transmission costs were all things that, although our transmission cost is very small, we were a contributor.
But the crash of the energy markets hit, so I understand it, not just in Wyoming, hit.
It was all over.
Okay, that's all.
Thank you. Ms. Good, you have redirect.
A couple of things.
Please proceed.
There was a question early on in your cross-exam, Mr. Easley, about the coal industries being represented on Precorp's board. Is there any board member on Precorp's board that represents only one type of customer?
The Precorp board members represent all members.
Including
coal mines.
And then you gave a percent. You were asked about what percent of Precorp's customer load or sales are represented by the coal industry. I think you checked that percent and needed to.
Yes, I did. I was thinking of the joint interveners as an entity, but actually the joint interveners are a combination of coal and gas, and the number I gave was more aligned to coal and gas. The coal industry itself is about 40% these days.
And then the other 20% is
coal to methane.
Okay. There's a new member on the Precorp board, and I need to come back to this. How did that person get on the board?
In late 2016, one of our longtime directors from Campbell County, Tom Davis, stepped off the board prior to you know his term being over, and the bylaws allow for the board to appoint that person to finish that term. Is the language, I'd have to look at the bylaws to be expressly correct on that. The board advertised for the position in the local papers, and I think that is part of what Steve St. Clair was responding to. The board ultimately interviewed 5 qualified candidates and then selected, looked at 5 qualified, did interviews, and selected Bob Bergnani to be the director to basically finish out Tom Davis's term.
So when the board selected Mr. Bergnani, did they have information about his background?
Yes, they did.
What is his background?
Bob comes out of the oil and gas industry. He was actually one of the individuals during my monthly or quarterly customer meetings, depending on what's going on, the same meetings that Steve St. Clair and coal mine customers attend to. Bob was an attendee of those for many years.
You were asked several questions about Mr. St. Clair's qualifications. You'd asked if you could see the Precor bylaws regarding that. I'm going to direct you to Precor Exhibit 20. And if you could, you don't have it.
It's in this book.
It's underneath the book there on the
Oh, here?
Ah, there it is.
And I'll direct you to, I believe it's page 5 of the bylaw handbook. It's Powder River Energy Corporation, base number 258. And section 3.1. Do you see that?
Yes.
Did Mr. St. Clair qualify for number 1 under the qualifications for a director there?
No.
How not? Or how did he not?
I believe he lives in Gillette.
And why does that not qualify?
Gillette's not in our service territory.
Okay. Will you go ahead and read what that qualification says?
Must reside within the service territory of the county from which he or she is elected. However, members taking service outside of the counties of Campbell Creek, Johnson, Sheridan, or Weston shall be deemed a member of and within the area served by the county closest to the nearest meter serving the member's residence.
Did Mr. St. Clair reside in the county at all?
Well, I believe, yeah, he would be in Campbell County, but he's not in Precorp service territory. And then under item 2, he is not a member receiving energy from the corporation.
All I have.
Thank you. You may be excused.
Thank you.
Ms. Good, if you would call your next witness.
The clerk calls Ms. Joanne Cole.
All the two of you, raise your right hand, please. Do you swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, subject to the penalty of perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Ms. Cole, could you please state your full name for the record? Joanne Louise Cole. And who are you employed by? Powder River Energy. What is your position?
I'm currently the Chief Financial and Administration Officer.
Did you file rebuttal testimony in this matter?
Yes, I did.
And for the record, your rebuttal testimony is marked Exhibit 4. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And the attachments to your rebuttal testimony are marked Exhibits 4.1 through 4.3.
Yes, that is correct.
Do you have any changes to your pre-filed testimony in this matter?
No, I do not.
Please summarize your testimony, Ms. Cole.
Sure. First, from the bigger picture, ultimately my testimony talks about Precorp collecting the entire amount of the pass on in order to pay for our wholesale power cost, which it's contractually obligated to purchase and pay for. And if not allowed to do so, Precorp will not only suffer cash flow problems, but other situations in its RUS contracts. When you talk about cash flows, that's derived from the fact that Precorp would need to pay Basin for the wholesale power bill that it receives monthly. But yet, what Precorp is receiving from its members in the COPA would be less than what we are essentially paying out. When we talk about our US metrics, we talked about this quite a bit at the recent rate case. Mainly what we talked about at that time was multiple loan covenants, specifically the financial ratio of O-tier. And we talked about that being a minimum of 1.1 over a certain time frame. There are other metrics also that we would fail if we couldn't collect this that are mentioned in those loan covenants. I went back and I looked at our 2017 budget figures, which is in my testimony, and the projected O tier based on the disallowance would be a negative 0.91, which seems kind of odd, but that's what it calculates out to. And if we did fail that 1.1 O tier by that negative 0.91, extremely unlikely that we could recover in 2018. And why is that? Because we don't have a lot of other options. We've gone through a lot of years of cost cutting, which we've testified. $13 million is about 57% of our budget. And of that budget, 62% is labor. So if we were to cut that $13 million, that would cut all but about 5% of our labor, just to kind of give you a scope of what we're talking about here. We've also talked about our revenue deferral funds, and at this point, there is insufficient funds in that revenue deferral account to cover that $13 million.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Hickey, your witness.
Thank you, Mr. Burbidge. Good morning.
Good morning.
I believe we met in an open meeting some months ago when you and Mr. Easley were down for an item in front of the commission, but my name is Paul Hickey. We represent the joint interveners. I'd like to ask you a few questions, and I'd like to start with some questions that came from the bench earlier in the case and the examination of Mr. Easley. And could you look at Precorp's Exhibit 2.2 for me? And specifically, dates stamped page 68 of that exhibit. Just let me know when you're there, please.
I am on that page, page 68.
Okay, you see the table then that shows columns with years 2007 through 11, dividend amount, bill credit amount, Precorp share of bill credit, correct?
I do.
Okay, so tell me what, in 2007, where it has bill credit total amount of $19 million, was $19 million worth of bill credit processed by Precorp on customer bills for that year?
Well, first, let me say I was not at Precorp in 2007, but the way I read this table, the $19 million is the total bill credit from Basin to all of its members.
I agree with you, but can I rephrase the question?
Sure.
Moving to that last column of the Precorp share of the bill credit, let me ask you how much of the $4,769,945.32 was actually processed as a bill credit on customer bills of Precorp's customers?
I'm sorry, I don't have that information in front of me.
Okay, how about for 2008, the $4,800,000 and change? Do you know how much of that was actually seen by customers of Precorp as a bill credit on their bills?
I am not aware of the exact amounts of any of these years, Mr. Hickey. I was not at Precorp during that time. and did not research that in response to this question.
Okay, so even though there are representations of bill credits, we have to all appreciate that not all years that there were bill credit amounts did customers get the benefit of the bill credits on their bills. Agreed?
I believe Mr. Easley mentioned earlier amounts that were set aside for CBM. I don't know specifically what those dollar amounts are.
And what did you mean by CBM?
He mentioned certain risk management funds that were created. I don't know the exact dollar amounts of which of those years those were included in, but that was what Mr. Easley was referring to.
Ms. Kolb, I'd like to direct you to your pre-filed testimony at page 3. And just let me know when you're there.
I am on page 3, Bates number 93.
That's fine. Page 3 of your testimony, and I'm at lines 6 and 7. And you ask yourself this question of, please explain the ramifications to Precor if the commission adopts the joint intervener's recommendations. Your answer in the first sentence says Precorp is contractually obligated to purchase all of its power from Basin and to pay for all power purchased. Did I read that accurately?
That is what that says, yes.
You would agree then that Precorp is obligated to buy power from Basin under the contract?
That's what that says, yes.
Precorp is not required under the contract to purchase from Basin anything that Basin decides it wants to sell Precorp. Yeah. We agree on that as well.
Precorp is obligated to pay to Basin energy and demand at the rates that's set forth in its rate schedule based on the usage that we purchased from them.
Let me change an analogy here and a hypothetical. Since we're a little ahead of the baseball season, let's talk about car dealerships for a minute. Wouldn't you agree, Ms. Kolb, that if Basin's wholesale power rate included losses associated with running a car dealership, Precorp would be justified in saying to Basin, that's not power, we're not going to pay it?
As has been mentioned earlier in testimony, I don't believe that a car dealership would end up in the Basin portfolio of companies, just based on the vetting that happens in that process.
Okay. And I'm asking you, in the event it did, wouldn't Precorp say, we're not going to pay for that because that's not how?
If the rates specified in the contract are billed on the power bill and the energy and demand that's billed on the power bill, that is what we pay for. So the presentation of the bill has specific rates. Those rates are translated and multiplied into energy and demand and presented to Precorp, and that is the amount that we pay.
But if, as chief financial officer of the company, if you learned that in either the energy or the demand component of the wholesale power bill, there was embedded losses of the car dealership, are you telling me that you'd go ahead and pay that bill because it fell under a umbrella of an energy or a demand charge?
We are obligated to pay what the contract states, and the contract states to pay for demand and energy and the demand and energy usage. So if you're getting at the individual components, that's from a contract terminology perspective, and contracts are negotiated by Mr. Easley and not myself.
So you're essentially agreeing then that if Basin chose to place car dealership losses or baseball franchise losses under the billing metrics of demand or energy, those charges would be paid by Precorp.
I don't think it would end up there because through the vetting process, it wouldn't have happened.
If it happened, you would pay those because you're contractually obligated to pay them. Was that your answer a moment ago, Ms. Cole?
We're contractually obligated to pay demand and energy charges as on our rate schedule, yes.
On page 3 of your testimony at line 7, you state that Precorp is required to honor its wholesale power contract. You see that additional language, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You would agree, wouldn't you, that Basin is also required to honor its obligations under that contract, correct?
Correct.
And it can only charge Precorp what is allowed to be charged under the contract. Can't we agree?
Correct.
And staying on page 3 with you, a little bit further down on that page, you testify that if the commission adopts the joint intervener's recommendations, quote, Precorp will continue to be obligated pursuant to its all requirements contract to purchase wholesale power from Basin at rates set by Basin. You see that at lines 12 through 16?
Yes, I do.
And your conclusion that you offer is, quote, Precorp's cash outflow to Basin will be greater than Precorp's cash inflow from rates paid by its members at lines 18 and 19, correct?
That is what it says, yes.
But you would agree this happens only if Precorp pays Basin's charges, right?
That is exactly what this paragraph is saying, yes.
If Precorp is allowed to charge its customers the same amount that it pays to Basin, then this concern is eliminated, right?
I think that this is predicated by Precorp continuing to be obligated pursuant to its all requirements contract, yes.
But by the same token, the concerns you raise about Precorp not meeting its O-tier ratio are premised on Precorp paying more to Basin than Precorp collects from its members. Isn't that, in fact, true?
That is the intent of this paragraph, yes, is that Precorp will have more cash outflow to Basin than Precorp's cash inflow from rates paid by its members.
So would you please assume with me as a hypothetical that the commission does adopt joint intervener's recommendation and disallows roughly the $13 million of Precorp $18 million COPA request in this docket. Can you make that assumption for me for purposes of this question?
So
hold that thought.
Can you repeat that for me, please?
Sure. Assume with me that the commission does adopt the recommendation that's offered through Mr. Higgins, that approximately $13 million of the $18 million sought in this COPA filing is disallowed. Assume that. And assume with me that the commission disallows the $13 million because it determines that those costs are not wholesale power. Okay? If the commission issued such an order, you would expect that Precorp would want to discuss these issues with Basin, wouldn't you?
Well, obviously Basin is here with us, so they would be hearing the commission's thoughts on that, and there would be conversations. But once again, like I said, I do not negotiate the contract.
But inevitably, this would cause conversation to occur between Basin and Precorp if, in fact, this disallowance were ordered by the commission.
I would assume so.
And as the CFO of Precorp, you'd be part of those discussions, correct?
I don't know that I would or wouldn't be.
As CFO, would you want to be included?
Would I want to be included? Yes. It would depend on the discussion that was being had and the agenda items that were being discussed.
Well, if this materialized, wouldn't you be telling Basin that this commission had determined that the disallowed costs were not wholesale power? And wouldn't that be part of the conversation that inevitably would be engaged in with Basin?
My current responsibilities do not entail negotiation of the Basin contract. So I do not know at this point whether I would be involved in those conversations. At this point, I have not been involved in those conversations.
Okay. If Basin determined to charge Precorp a rate that did not include the DGC costs, then the Precorp cash flow concerns that you talk about would be eliminated, correct?
I'm not sure how we could get there with the way the way cooperatives work. And I mentioned that also in my testimony. Essentially, all of the cooperatives in the basin system are charged the same rates, and that would potentially lead to rate discrimination if there was some special agreement that happened with Precorp.
Why don't we go ahead and break for lunch?
Sure.
And we will reconvene at 1:30.